So I wanted to talk to everyone about Chinese property and what it means, what the implications might mean for Australian property and also the Australian economy and the stock market, because it's getting pretty ugly over there in China at the moment. And what's
so you're talking about their property market. Chinese investment in Australia.
Well, we'll come to Chinese investment in Australian property shortly, but what really intrigues me is what's going on. There's a real stalemate in China at the moment. And I think given the level of speculation in property in China, it's worth using the casino as an apt metaphor. There are three card players in this game. And the question is, who capitulates first? Now, all of this is going to come back to Australian property prices, the stock market and the economy in just a second. But first, we have to give some background. So what you've got is you've got three players in this game. You've got the investors, and I use that description loosely. They're not really investors. It might surprise listeners to know that in China, when Chinese people buy an investment property, they don't rent it out because they don't want to sully dirty or damage the property. They want it to be sparkly and new for the next buyer.
So to keep it for a capital investment.
Yeah, it's just for capital gain, which is absurd. But because then what you're doing by definition is you're not investing. You're in fact speculating on somebody else coming along paying more than you for something that earns no income. So that's just turning the property into a commodity. So you've got the investors, who are really speculators. Then you've got the developers, and then you've got the government. Now, most economists and strategists would talk about the banks as well as being a player in that game. But in fact, they're controlled by the government and they're directed by the government to determine how much they can lend out and on what basis. So we'll leave the banks out and we'll just call it government, developers and investors. Now, there's a stalemate at the moment. So what you've got is a situation where the government has already started imposing some conditions to pull back the reins on the ridiculous property speculation that was going on. And in fact, one of the things that they've done is they've brought in this anti-corruption measures. Now, what might be interesting, I think, is that government officials and their families represent about 30% of all property purchases, residential property purchases in China. So they now, because of this anti-corruption drive, they now pull their heads in and they don't want to be in a situation where they're alerting the government to their activities. We'll come back to them in a minute because many of them are now pushing the offshore investment diversification that we're seeing in Australia and California's seeing it and London's seeing it as well. So that's one group, that's the government. Then you've got the developers. Now, the developers are in all sorts of bother because what's actually happened is property prices have dropped.
Well, there's a massive oversupply, isn't
there? Yeah, correct. And when you talk about oversupply, let me put it in perspective. There's about 14 months of supply in the hands of property development inventory. Now, 14 months, that's based on recent activity. But if recent activity slows, and we just talked about the government officials and their families not buying, they're all pulling their heads in, well, then you're going to have less purchases, less transactions. So that 14 months of inventory is going to blow out. Now, the property developers, this is where it gets really interesting. They have decided not to sell their property at lower prices. So prices have dropped. Buyers aren't willing to pay current prices, but property developers aren't willing to sell at current prices. They're holding their hand in this game of poker or whatever it is you want to call it, Texas Hold'em. And they're I don't even know what Texas Hold'em is, by the way. I've just
I'll explain
heard the
one
phrase.
Day for you. But yeah, thanks very much. It's applicable.
Okay. So they're holding on to their cards and they're waiting. They're waiting for the government to re-stimulate property because they believe that because property construction is about, and I'm, you know, these are rough numbers here, about 12% of GDP and about 15% of GDP growth, the developers are holding their hand, not willing to fold their cards or they fold their hand, and they're not, they're thinking the government's going to step in and re-stimulate.
And the government can.
Of course they can. Yeah. But it's unlikely at this stage because they've only just recently implemented the measures to actually curb property speculation. Now, these guys, the developers, are the weakest holders of their hand because they're geared, they've got borrowings, and they've got 14 months of supply. So they're going to have to capitulate. Now, when they do, property prices will be much, much lower.
Yep.
If in China we applied what the US government did during the GFC and forced them to mark to market their properties to say, okay, your properties are worth what the market is, well, they would be much, much lower already.
Yes.
But they're not doing that. So property prices are being artificially elevated by the fact there aren't many transactions going on a relative basis. Then the final group are the investors. The investors know all of this. They know what's going on. They've pulled their heads in and they don't want to buy much more Chinese property.
So I'm going to cut down because we're going to hit time problems if we don't. I'm suggesting those investors will therefore start looking overseas.
Which is exactly what they're doing. And in fact, what's happened is outbound Chinese real estate investment is now up 80% in the last month on the same time last year. So what we're actually seeing is increasing outbound investment, and that's hitting the Australian property market. And those investors are now competing for properties and often buying them sight unseen and competing for properties with new first home buyers and also investors who are looking to buy off the plan and take advantage of low Australian interest rates. Now,
so this is largely done on an individual level. It's not, we're talking about investors not necessarily buying whole apartment blocks. We're talking about
individuals. Well, they do that as well. The more wealthy ones do that as well.
But it's largely at the moment what we're discussing is not investing in China in their home, but looking for individual units in Australia or California.
Yeah, now what are the implications? Yeah. What are the implications of all of this? Well, the implications of the slowing Chinese real estate market, if you add that on to the slowing Chinese industrial economy and US imports in the United States are now at non-petroleum imports are now at levels that have only been seen in the last two recessions. That means Chinese exports are slowing down as well. So the entire Chinese economy, it continues to slow. People are talking about 7% growth. I reckon we're actually at 5% growth.
Yeah, when you say slow, though, it's still enviable rate of growth.
Oh, yes, but 2 years ago it was 12%. Well, they said it was 12%. Yeah. You know, I don't know, in an economy and country as diverse and disparate and geographically spread out, I don't know how they get their numbers in at the end of the month faster than the United States.
Suggesting it would double the size of the Chinese economy in the space of about 5 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they're down from 12%. I reckon they're at 5%. They're reporting 7%. I reckon they're at 5%, maybe even 4%. Mm-hmm. The implications of that, everyone panics. Everyone says this is going to be bad for stocks. I'm going to sell my stocks. That, I think, is the wrong conclusion. What it means is a slower Australian economy. That doesn't mean the stock market goes down. 50% of the time when you've got a slow Australian economy, you can have above average rates of growth in the stock market. What it does mean, without a shadow of a doubt, I believe, is that we're going to see lower rates for longer in Australia. So the talk about rising interest rates in Australia is premature. If you also take a look at some recent statistics that have come out in Australia, what we've actually seen is that we've seen a housing construction in Australia actually down quite a bit as well. And some are suggesting down 15% new housing construction. Now, what that means, what that actually means is that that sector of the economy is not going to make up for the slowing resource sector, which is going to continue slowing a lot more because steel mills in China, coming back to China again, steel mills in China have been told by the government to bring excess capacity down just to levels that will keep people employed, so minimum levels.
Yeah.
So that's going to, that we're going to see the iron ore price potentially go to $80 a ton, even lower possibly, and that gap is not going to be lifted or filled by construction in Australia, residential construction in Australia.
Oh, no, that's a massive gap. But yet only last week, the New South Wales Housing Minister, now Prue Gowd, was talking about the need for planning to increase production of units in particularly areas such as Sydney and the larger cities to go up. So there'll be more units and more places to
Well, one stat I've got, though, is building approvals fell by 5.6% in April and much weaker than expectations. And it's only up 1.1% on the year. So stats are boring and I hate quoting stats. But the reality is that it appears as though China is slowing down. That's going to add to the slowdown in our resources. Then we've got lower interest rates in Australia. The hope is that it will prop up real estate investment, building approvals and building construction, but it looks like it's not happening. Yeah. It looks like that's slowing down as well. So lower rates in Australia for longer. When rates are lower for longer, then what it actually means is asset price increases because people are forced in a negative real rate environment. So if you've got, what I mean by that is if you're earning low interest rates on your cash, but inflation is higher, then your real return is negative. And so in that environment, people are compelled and forced to invest in other assets. So we may still see that stock market bubble that we haven't seen yet, that last phase of the rally where people get really, really excited and push asset prices up much, much higher.
And we're seeing, of course, the first decision by the Reserve Bank. Oh, yeah, but not the first, but the next decision by the Reserve Bank will be made tomorrow. So it'll maybe give some indicator of direction, maybe particularly reading their reasons for, as everybody's estimated, keeping them at the same.
I'd put a dollar on them keeping them the same and a bias to the downside, a bias to lower interest rates yet again.
Yeah.
A bias doesn't mean they'll lower interest rates. It just means they're leaning that way.
Yeah. Well, we does emphasise how much we depend on China, not just, this, of course, Australia, but the United States, whose economy is well and truly tied to China, but so many others as well.
Well, yeah, and just keep that in mind. Lower imports mean lower exports from China. China's slowing down. That means lower interest rates for us for longer.